WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's taking a tough-on-crime stance after more than 100 people were shot over the 4th of July weekend. At least 19 of those people died. Johnson says that there will be, quote, consequences for the lives lost last weekend, while calling on federal authorities and others to address the violence. It's a marked difference from how he has talked about crime before. So I sat down to hear more from Tessa Weinberg, a WBEZ city government and politics reporter. I started off by asking Tessa for more details about the violence over the weekend. Here she is.
The 4th of July weekend historically sees a large uptick in violence in the city. And in general, we see a spike in the warm summer months. And, you know, like you said, this holiday weekend, there were 100 people shot, 19 killed. And among those shootings, there were four mass shootings. And in the greater Grand Crossing in particular, there was an 8-year-old boy and two women who were killed in a shooting that happened at 6:15, you know, in the morning even.
First thing in the morning on 4th of July.
Yeah. Wow. And by the end of Friday alone of that weekend, the tally of shootings had already passed last year's numbers for the 4th of July holiday weekend. Last year, there were 11 people killed and 62 wounded over 4th of July. And so, you know, we quickly surpassed that tally. We saw Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling and Mayor Brandon Johnson, you know, at that press conference yesterday, you know, decrying the violence, really taking a firm stance and pleading really with people pretty desperately to come forward with information to, you know, speak up. And I do want to note too that homicides and non-fatal shootings, they are both down so far compared to last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're still kind of in the, I would say kind of, you know, early part of summer where we see violence spike. And UChicago Crime Lab, you know, they've previously analyzed some of the summer violence and found that a majority of the shootings that happen summer are, you know, one, taking place outdoors, but are driven by, you know, arguments between adult men. And that's kind of what drives some of this you know, violence that we see.
And when we look at, you know, holiday weekend over holiday weekend last year to this year, we're at almost double that this time around. So you mentioned CPD Superintendent Larry Snelling there. So he joined the mayor yesterday at the news conference. And what was interesting was that when it comes to tackling crime, we know Johnson normally has this focus on the need for youth programs and jobs. And so it was interesting to see him take this more tough on crime approach, right, that we hadn't seen before. Did he share any details about the actions that he wants to take right now?
Yeah, you know, he was really stressing that there's going to be accountability and that there's going to be consequences. But, you know, so far there haven't been any arrests made or updates, you know, on what's going to, you know, how those investigations are going. Superintendent Snelling was vowing detectives are working hard, especially in the cases that involve children. And Mayor Johnson, you know, he really was calling on one, more federal support, but also pointing back to steps he's taken. He talked about in his first budget, he, you know, put funding to hire 200 new detectives that he says, you know, they're working towards that goal. But he still was, you know, stressing that holistic approach, even in his comments yesterday, saying policing will not be enough. Mm-hmm. I think it's why we've seen, you know, the city be trying to invest in, you know, jobs for youth in the summer, to opening more mental health clinics. And, you know, earlier this year, even the city had sued Glock, the handgun manufacturer, for, you know, arguing that they're endangering Chicagoans by manufacturing and selling the semi-automatic pistols that then can be easily converted to illegal machine guns. So I do think the city is trying, you know, on different fronts to tackle this. But, you know, we're still seeing, you know, this violence as well.
And I don't want to gloss over what you mentioned. You said there have been no arrests for over 100 people being shot. I mean, is that typical considering there were so many shootings?
Yeah, you know, that's something that CPD is vowing. You know, they're investigating. They're doing everything they can. And it was a busy weekend, though. You know, police were definitely, I think, would be fair to say, stretched thin. Mm-hmm. Days off have been canceled so police can handle NASCAR, which is a huge event that takes up a lot of resources. Although police did say that, you know, they devoted less officers to that event, but they didn't provide specific numbers. But historically, you know, CPD has trailed national clearance rates for homicides. The Trace reported last year that in 2022, CPD made arrests in just 18.6% of fatal shootings, which was significantly lower than the national average, which was 45% in 2022, according to FBI data. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of track that, you know, it's, I think, you know, they do struggle sometimes to maybe make arrests in all these cases, and just the sheer number, I'm sure, is a lot to deal with.
Yeah, I know. He said there will be consequences, the mayor did. The superintendent echoed that and called for aggressive action against the perpetrators of the violence. Do we know what they're talking about specifically?
You know, I would imagine, to arrest and charge those, you know, who were involved in these shootings, and, you know, to really be going after folks. But I think, you know, we'll have to see when that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. What are older people saying about the violence?
Yeah. I think older people, you know, are very concerned about seeing these shootings take place, and with it falling once again, you know, on NASCAR weekend. This was the second time the race was held. You know, one older person, Alderman Lamont Robinson, he represents a ward that covers part of downtown, and he told the Chicago Tribune, he was suggesting that, you know, the race should be moved to a different weekend, that in order to basically give police more resources so they're not as strained, that, you know, maybe we should consider moving this big event, since this is a historically violent weekend, mm-hmm. that maybe we don't need to be adding more on top of it. But the NASCAR is, you know, locked down for another year in their contract. And so we'll see if the city, you know, makes any moves to change that. In the press conference yesterday, Mayor Johnson didn't indicate that was something, you know, he'd necessarily be doing, and said, you know, these were dates we inherited when this contract was signed.
But you did mention that he called on the federal government for more help fighting crime. What kind of help?
Yeah, he was really calling for, you know, more resources and wanting to see the federal government respond to mass shootings in Chicago on a weekend like this, like how they do in other, you know, parts of the country. He specifically referenced Highland Park and, you know, resources that the suburban community got after they experienced a mass shooting, and was calling for more funding for things like victim support services. Mm-hmm. And I imagine he wants, you know, just a more of a, you know, coordinated response at both the state and federal level. And I imagine that looked like more funding for Chicago to tackle this from multiple angles, but also, you know, maybe tighter restrictions as well.
Now, Tessa, there will be a CPD-run emergency assistance center today at a Westside Chicago Fire Department station from 3:30 to 7 p.m. This is for gun violence victims, no matter when they were hurt. Is that enough, though, to address the violence that we've seen?
Yeah, I think, you know, most people would argue one event in the afternoon, you know, is not going to be enough. But I don't think the city is necessarily claiming that that's going to be, you know, the solution.
Yeah.
That they're trying to offer just multiple avenues and support for people. But, you know, the mayor was asked yesterday of what would you say to Chicagoans who continue to see these violent, you know, shootings and violent weekends in their neighborhoods and maybe feel jaded and not interested in helping the police or working with the city or going out of their way, you know, like the mayor was really pleading. And, you know, he was just kind of reiterating of, you know, if someone always knows something, and if you know something, you need to, you know, step up, and that they're, you know, that's why the city has these opportunities for youth, and that he is just, you know, tired and was really forceful of, you know, tired of seeing folks having to grieve the loss of, you know, young mm-hmm. black men. And he was really just urging people, you know, you got to step up. We need the community to help us as well.
Definite frustration in his voice yesterday. Now, before I let you go, I want to briefly switch gears back to NASCAR, which you mentioned earlier, but you reported recently that the widow of a contract worker for NASCAR and the Chicago Park District, they're seeking a wrongful death lawsuit. Why is she suing?
Yeah, so this all stems to, you know, her husband, Dwayne Tobinski. He was an audio engineer who had been contracted to set up last year's NASCAR street race. And you might remember the headlines where he had been electrocuted and died. It was, you know, record rainfall preceding that day, the race and during the race. And back in March, his widow had filed a wrongful death lawsuit alleging that NASCAR, the Chicago Park District, and then several of those contractors were negligent and that they had failed to, you know, properly inspect the area, you know, on the on and off rain that was happening, that some of the equipment was faulty, which is, you know, what maybe led to this electrocution. And they're seeking, you know, more than $50,000 in damages. NASCAR and the Chicago Park District have both declined to comment, you know, in court.
Have there been any investigations from them?
So there was an OSHA investigation. However, OSHA investigated the production company that was owned by Dwayne Tabinski, the audio engineer who died, and they closed that earlier last year with no citations. And they say generally, you know, if they are investigating a company whose owner died or if the person in the incident was self-employed, that they will generally decline to cite. And so that's something where, you know, the attorneys representing the widow in this case are arguing that there hasn't been a thorough investigation, that there needs to be, that, you know, this shouldn't have happened. And some of the production companies that were also named in the lawsuit, you know, they in court filings argued they had no control over the conditions and that it was, you know, the audio engineer himself who acted carelessly and was basically responsible for his own death.
What did they cite as the cause of death?
Yeah, so the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, they ruled the death an accident and said it was, you know, electrocution after contact with electrical wires.
I mean, it's been a year since that incident. I can't imagine. How has this impacted the family?
Yeah, I didn't get to talk to the family personally about the lawsuit, but they cited in it, you know, the grief that it's left both his widow and his children with. And, you know, there was an obituary for Dwayne Tabinski, and it had cited that he died doing what he loved on a show in Chicago, that his biggest career accomplishment to date had been, you know, getting contracted by NASCAR for this invention known as Track Pack. And that, you know, the obituary said that they were happy to at least, that he was able to at least witness the debut of his creation, you know, and see it in practice.
So sad. Well, what else can we look out for this week at City Council, Tessa?
Yeah, you know, another interesting thing that happened yesterday is that alderpersons rejected a push to give the Chicago City Council more power to operate more independently from the mayor and its meetings, to basically give them their own office where they could consult an attorney to get advice when there's rule disputes. And, you know, the rules may seem kind of make someone's eyes glaze over, but they're actually really important to, you know, getting legislation moved forward, to allowing things to get heard during the meetings. And alderpersons rejected that attempt, and it was being pushed by some of the mayor's, you know, staunchest critics. And so I think that was really interesting to see, especially as we've seen some ethics proposals at City Council kind of falter and stumble a little bit, and they've hit some roadblocks. And, you know, City Council is meeting later this month, and we'll see if some of that comes back up, or if this is a sign that some of those ethics proposals that would challenge the mayor maybe aren't going to move forward as anywhere. So we'll see.
You will keep us up to date. That's Tessa Weinberg, a WBEZ city government and politics reporter. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Nadia Hernandez, edited by Maha Ahmed, and mixed by Micah Yasin. We give you the breakdown of the news that you need to know. And if you like what you hear, consider recommending us to a friend or giving us a rating. You can also listen to our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.